Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your plans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no plans of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. It's a Victory Monday edition of the program. It's 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson with you. Billy Williford will be back
basketball
tomorrow.
Basketball Bill taking the day off. Sad.
Poor fella.
He's not sick.
That's true.
You just mean poor? He's missing the show.
I just know he
poor
would.
For him.
Yeah, he would. Yeah. I mean, he could be just trying to skip out and hoping that we forget that he had, who was it, Mississippi State this weekend?
Yep.
I was, you know, texting you guys.
Ole Miss, they tried really hard.
I was texting
to get me off the block.
You guys all the exciting things that happened over the weekend. And then Billy comes in with the downer and reminded me that all three of you guys are basically done.
Now, it feels SEC good to win Survivor. SEC Survivor.
What, to maintain your lead and loses?
No, I South Carolina won the game over Texas A&M, so I don't have to go to the bucket of death today. Feels good.
I don't think that's what happened.
I think you got your maroons and garnets mixed up out there in Lone Star State there, Davey.
Check the stats.
Yeah. I
don't think I need to check the stats.
That game wasn't close.
Yeah.
Actually, Will Muschamp came through for me.
It was actually closer than I thought.
Feels good to have
really?
To set this out.
Not for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, for a while.
2-10?
He got 10? 2-10 for Davey Hudson?
What about it? I won this week.
2-10. Yeah, I don't know why you keep saying that.
Yeah. You know who did win? Tennessee basketball, by God.
Told you.
Houston Kress.
Stradamus.
Had it right on the number.
I really was close.
You're really close.
I think I was. What did I say? 71-60?
Something like that.
I think I said 71-60.
Whew. They're like $1 million.
Not to brag, but I think this team has it. I felt like they had it, and they may just have it.
I swear they're better against the zone than they are against man-to-man.
If we don't have a cold spell to start the second half, we might blast them by 25-30.
I mean, I was worried. We had the strategy, right? They're like, well, who are we going to put in the middle? I said, well, I think they'll flash different guys in there.
Everybody, I was like, I think Pons can flash there.
First half, whoever flashed in there.
Fulkerson can flash there. Well, no, Bowden can flash there. Zip, zip, zip. 56% they shot in the first half.
They just went with the little triangle rotation, ball opposite, flash in there, rotate through. Money.
Mid-range jumper, mid-range jumper. Mid-range jumper. Mid-range jumper.
Bowden from the corner.
Money. Mid-range jumper. Kick out three. Mid-range jumper. Duck down. Slam.
I mean, Washington, even with that size, had trouble rebounding in the zone. They always say it.
They always say it. Oh, they're going zone. They're going to have trouble rebounding.
Zone's not good for a rebounding team. And they
felt like in the first half.
They are big,
when
by
Tennessee
the way.
Missed.
Washington, big.
They got the rebound half the
Very
time.
Big. Not big enough, though. Not big enough.
I felt like it almost made it easier because, like, Lamonte didn't have to worry about somebody hassling him out around half court. He could just kind of set the offense, get everybody in the right spot, move the basketball, and they just kind of slice and dice them. No problem. I mean, Tennessee's a top 25 team now. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, Davey shared this. Was that this morning or late last night?
Brazilla put that out last night.
Power rankings.
14th?
14th. Yes.
Says, hey, sorry, a doubt of the Vols. My mistake. They're pretty good. The max net points, too, with a 10-point-plus victory.
I thought about that, yep.
10 points and 100 points, basically the same thing. Just got to win by 10. I was a little worried there because it was 9-11-ish, and I was like, don't let them hit a late three and cut it to 9. No. Vols get the max net points. They've got them in all three games so far. 3-0, your Tennessee Volunteers.
I mean, we said in the Murray State game when Jordan Bowden decided, okay, I really do need to score here to help this team. Like if he would do that all the time, like they, you know, that would be the better end of the way they could play. And I mean, he did that on Saturday. 6 of 13 from the floor, 3 of 5 from three. He had led the team with 18 points, but it was truly just a team effort. Bowden poured in 16, Turner poured in 16 behind Bowden's 18. Fulkerson had 14. He was pretty efficient too, 4 of 8, 50% from the field, but he made all his free throws. And then Pons, another good game, 7 of 13, 15 points. And Josiah James, I mean, he had 3 turnovers outside of that. He was perfect. Didn't miss a shot the whole game. 4 of 4 from the field.
And when he hit him, it was times that we really needed a bucket. It's like maybe he's just waiting. It's like, I'll take over when I need to, but until I need to, I'm just going to coast a little bit.
I mean, he's 1 point off from your starting five all being in double figures. Just a nice, balanced, kind of perfect 75-point output. Hold the other team in the 60s, and nice, easy, comfortable win.
Obviously, it's incredible to get a top 25 win this early, especially with what we were thinking we were going to get out of the Vols during the offseason.
2 weeks ago, we were like, Washington, they're pretty good. Don't embarrass yourself.
Especially after the first game. I think after the first game, I worry more.
And halftime of Murray State, I was let's see, can I get that was to 15 the, wins? Can I count 15?
That was definitely the low point, halftime of Murray State.
Tennessee only played 7 players on the day, really 6, because Jalen just kind of got a few minutes. Does it make you a little nervous?
Yes, it does. I feel like we're back to the same issue we had last year, which is no depth, no rotation.
Both Turner and Bowden played 39 minutes.
It doesn't in this game. Like you had to win this game. You had to make sure you win this game. Like if they come out more, and all of a sudden instead of it being a 7-point lead, and weren't there a few moments in the second half we got down to 7.
Yeah, they cut it to 7. I guess with 8 minutes to go. And that was down. That was when we went on our scoring drought.
Yeah.
And it was like Washington getting back in the game, but it's like it wasn't really Washington getting back into the game, it was us just not keeping our scoring pace.
But if you've subbed more through the game and that's 4 instead of 7 or 3 instead of 7, I don't know.
It was the right thing to do in this game. Right. I am just worried long term about the lack of depth.
Sure. Mm-hmm. We got some games coming up here that those guys need to play like 18 minutes.
Alabama State.
Yeah. Wednesday.
Your starter scored 72 of your 75 points.
Well, I mean, yeah. Like,
I'm just putting it out there. I mean, that was on
your bench. No, played 23 minutes.
Yeah, he's just saying no bench scoring.
Yeah,
that's what the main ticker for ESPN at the bottom. Like, that was the thing they had.
Well, you're also playing a zone too, and I feel like Washington didn't even really try and get out and run much.
They probably could have.
Well, I mean, a couple times they tried, and
transition defense was really good.
I mean, Eve Pons just said, "Not today."
That wasn't transit. Is it, which one?
No,
is that?
That well, he had 2 blocks, right?
At one. Least that one was. I mean, they got the little putback dunk 5 seconds later, but whew, he sent the message.
No, he only had 1 block.
Well, he got it was worth.
Well, Lamonte had a good block too.
That was a great transition block by him. He was up there.
Showing some hops.
I mean, I knew he could get up a little bit. I knew he could at least dunk, but man, high flying. I really like this team.
I mean,
I like them.
You got out-rebounded overall, but it didn't feel like it. It's weird. At least to me, it did.
Felt like they had a lot of possessions where they would miss like a couple of tip-ins, which, you know, count as a rebound. Like they miss a shot, miss two tip-ins, we get one rebound. They had
They have 15 offensive boards, so that was
yeah.
But again, they do have 2 6'9" five-star true freshmen that were really athletic.
They have five players over 6'9" on the roster.
I really like
6'11" dudes
that they were able to get Isaiah Stewart in foul trouble early. I thought that really helped stall Washington's offense. Because early, you just saw them dump it down low to him. He had Fulkerson on the back hip, and he was just getting to the basket, kind of scoring at ease in those situations.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you're Washington, you're looking at this, you're like, man, we should have gotten Stewart more shots and told Carter to quit shooting. I mean, Carter led him in scoring, but he was only 8 of 19. Stewart was 7 of 12.
We did foul out McDaniels and Green.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, Green. Take your waiver and put it where the sun don't shine.
Wright fouled out as well.
Oh, he did. got three guys fouled out.
But, I mean, he didn't have any points in 20 minutes
of
action.
No, he did not. No, he did not. He did have one rebound and five assists. Five fouls.
Game through Sunday for KenPom ratings puts the Vols at number 17th in the country.
Going to be a ranked squad. Feels good.
I mean.
Feels good.
Like, I thought, like, I knew they could play that well. I didn't think they'd play that well for most, I mean, essentially the whole game. Like, that scoring drought was just kind of the normal, like, it wasn't the weird thing last year, like, where we talked about it going into the weekend, where for an entire 10 minutes they played awful, but
no,
played a million bucks for
the They were
30.
Still playing fine.
Yeah.
I was listening to, Bertelkamp was saying it. He was like, for some reason, whoever was catching it in the middle of the zone just looked a little timid, and it didn't matter who it was. We were just kind of hesitating. Mm. I don't know if maybe Washington made some type of switch there, some type of change up in the zone that we weren't exactly sure what was going on, because we were getting the ball in the exact same spot. We had the exact same looks, but for some reason, Pons, Bowden, and Fulkerson, they were all just a little bit timid to shoot it. Like you said, that lasted just a few minutes, and then we ramped it back up.
For the first 15 minutes, they didn't make any adjustments for that zone, which I was kind of dumbfounded that they didn't do, because it was so simple. Just get it in the middle, turn around, shoot, score. All right, go back to the other end, play defense. I couldn't really believe. I was like,
talking about Washington not adjusting? Yeah.
How did they not make a move here?
Like, they did. Didn't they eventually go man for a little bit, and that didn't work out for them either?
They did. I can't remember when they made that adjustment, though.
It didn't work. You can tell that they don't exactly practice the man like they practice the zone. So they're like, this isn't working. We got to do something different. We don't know how to play man defense, coach. Okay, back to the zone.
You know,
back to the zone.
A lot of teams just might not be able to hit that mid-range jumper. But Tennessee,
that's
I mean,
our shot, man.
Yeah. I don't even consider that a mid-range jumper. That's like a little 6-foot shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
A bunch of them were inside the free throw line. Like it really was like a 6 to 8 foot little. But you had Pons hitting it. You had Volke hitting it. Of course, Bowden's going to hit it.
Pons, another thing about him we haven't really got into much. I think we maybe talked about it once during the Murray State game. But his low post moves, like he's really – I don't know if he's just trying to take a play out of Grant's playbook, kind of like did some of the things he did there. But he's really going for that shot fake, trying to do an up and under.
Very old school, very European, very classic – dad at the YMCA up and under move by Pons. But it works. And now that he can hit that, you know, 8-10 footer, not to mention the three, he's a dangerous man.
All you need, drop step, jump hook, up and under. That's it.
Pons through three games, 15 points, 19 points, 15 points.
He scored more in the first three games this year, total points, than he did in the final 29 games last year combined. He's a weapon.
Wow.
He's a little French firecracker out there.
It's incredible. I can't find anything to complain about, really. I mean, I'm trying.
Euros.
Well,
one Plavsic cleared. Not getting that. They got Quad A Green cleared. We gotta wait and not have Plavsic out there. Did you catch Bowden on the post game?
No, what'd he say?
He said, they were like, oh, how do you think your bigs did against Washington size? And he's like, oh, they did a great job. Fulkerson, Uros. Wait, not Uros. Free Uros, by the way. It was funny. He like, yeah, he's not out there. Caught himself. And then he said, free my man, Uros Plovsic. I guess that could still happen. What help give you know, a little bench?
Well, I mean,
little
bench we talked about move. The. Go ahead, Davey. I'm going to open this up more kind of globally.
Well, I was kind of doing a little bit of a look ahead for the week. I was just going to say, like, I didn't realize it, but that Alabama State game is technically part of the Emerald Coast Classic.
Yeah, it's the campus game for
and
the.
And so, well, we actually have two campus games. We have Alabama State and Chattanooga.
Chattanooga is part of that too?
It is, yeah. And then you go and play Florida State on the 29th. So that's the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Black Friday.
Is there a time for that game?
7 p.m.
Perfect.
CBS Sports Network.
Oh. Time good. Network bad.
Do we have that?
Or? I don't know.
I don't even think I'm going to be at the house. I'm going
to have to check. I'm going to stream it.
Friday night.
Find somebody to give us a login.
Periscope it.
Yeah. Yeah. I borrowed someone's login to watch this game. I mean, I paid for it
myself. I don't
think
you should have admit that on the radio.
No, it was a family member. Legal.
Friends and family package.
Mm-hmm.
Share plan.
Sure. I had to watch him. Driving home from the tournament, I was listening to it. I got back. I said, got to watch him now.
Boom. I mean, I guess.
Looking good.
I guess it's kind of a downside that the rest of the SEC is a mess because it's going to hurt your strength of schedule metrics.
Unless they're just so bad that you win all the games. That'd be cool.
But then, yeah, that's the flip side. I'm looking at the I'm on Tennessee's schedule on a webpage, and so it has the SEC standings over to the right. And, of course, there's everybody's tied 0-0 for the conference. No conference games until after Christmas. But looking at the overall, down there near the bottom, Florida, 2-2.
There are two teams with two losses in the SEC. Alabama, who sucks.
Do they ever.
And Florida, who was supposed to not suck at all. Florida now losses to Florida State at home by like 12. And then yesterday they went to UConn to face the 1-1 Huskies. Huskies get the 72-69 victory.
This ain't your older brother's UConn Huskies.
No, this
either.
No. This ain't.
They're like 80 something.
This ain't Calhoun's Huskies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Florida 2-2 with the quote unquote best roster in the country. And boy, do they hate Mike White in Gainesville.
I can't see them to start winning. I want them to start winning.
So they keep him?
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole Butch Jones thing. I need Mike White. Well, okay,
my
honestly,
Florida buddy, that's exactly what he said. It's like he had one good run in the tournament. Now everyone's there. They got to keep him. He might be our Butch Jones. And I was just like, sorry.
I don't know what it is, but it does seem like he does just enough to get by, get into the NCAA tournament. And they had a very favorable schedule last year once they got to postseason play. But I want him to do just enough to where they keep him around because he's recruiting really well. He just can't do anything with the talent. So I'm scared you'll have like a Bruce Pearl Buzz Peterson situation where
they get the right guy come talent. In just championships.
There's talent on that roster, but the guy doesn't know how to utilize it.
I mean, you look at his record at Florida and you're like, yeah, you'd never fire a guy like this. I mean, 21 wins, 27 wins, made the Elite Eight, 21 wins, second round, 20 wins, second round. But, man, you watch them play. And it's not just the UConn loss and the Florida State loss. It's that Towson was hanging around forever, too.
Towson should have had him, man.
I mean, they just don't. I mean, he recruits so well. Like they can play well. They just don't a lot of times.
No, he hamstrings his own team by slowing them down and not utilizing what they have. He runs that 4-5 out junk.
Blackshear's been their best player, but man, I'm just thinking like he's not even looking as good as he did last year under Buzz Williams. No.
He should have come here. We'd be so freaking good if we had that guy. What'd he do? What'd he have, 14?
Last night he had 15 points. 15? Six of 8 from the field, 8 rebounds. He
six
did,
of 8 from 2? I thought he was like 1 of 4 from 3.
He was 1 of 2 from 3.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'm thinking probably against Towson.
He did foul out. Only 26 minutes of action. but they don't really have a whole lot. They
how many rebounds
down,
did he have?
Down low, he had 8.
That's a little better.
He had a double-double. I don't know if it was the Florida State game. But they only scored 51 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike can't
White.
Score.
Mike White.
They yeah, run he, like the Quez, off.
Hey, Quez Glover got in. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, they were giving Bearden a big shout out on the
really
the ESPN broadcast.
I missed this.
Said state champs, baby.
Yeah, go back and watch. How'd he look?
He missed a, he missed his first two shots, and then he got a nice nice layup.
Okay.
He can jump.
Yeah. I mean, Blackshear
for a little guy.
Kid's good.
A little Spud Webb.
He's kind of
with a lot more hair.
Helped propel them so far.
Huh?
I said Blackshear's kind of he's the reason they didn't lose to Towson.
Yeah, he had a pretty – I mean, that's a weird thing to say, but it's true. Yeah.
I mean, he's
thank God we got that guy. Who would have lost to Towson.
He's averaging a double-double.
You mentioned Alabama, too. They went up to Rhode Island, got boat raced.
Like, I mean, well, it is an island. Not really, but I was making a boat joke because you got – they did get absolutely boat raced, right? I mean, is it the Rams? Is that right? The Rhode Island Rams?
Yeah, I think so.
Home of Lamar Odom.
It was 93-79.
Ew!
They gave up 93
to the
Rhode
Rams.
Island. Mm-hmm. Oh, baby.
That's a nice little basketball school, though.
Alabama plays Furman tomorrow.
The Paladins.
It's about to get worse.
Yeah.
They're probably going to beat them. The matchup predictors got it 52.7% chance Alabama wins this game.
That's a coin flip. At home?
At home.
Aye.
Yeah. Yeah. Furman's 4-0. They beat LSU last year. This could be.
Oh, that was last year.
Maybe
yeah, that's
right. LSU last year. Not like.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Good LSU who won the league. LSU. Right. Strong ass offer. LSU.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I think I saw. Did I read correctly that Tennessee's 3-point percentage is like fourth highest in the country so far?
I mean, I'm pretty sure it is. Bowden's shooting over 50% from three. Pond's shooting over 50% from three.
We're 46.2 as a team.
There was a point, I think it was through the first half, or maybe it was at the first half, where like Tennessee shot 60% from, like within just overall 60% from three, and then over 90% from the free throw line.
It's incredible.
I'm a little worried about free throws, honestly. I guess that'd be my one critique.
Really?
We got to get a little better at the free throw line, especially Lamonte. You got to have a point guard who can hit free throws, especially late when teams start fouling.
I thought he did a good job.
He did better. He still missed at least, well, I think he missed his first one late, kind of when we were trying to, I mean, when it's make free throws and win the game time, and he missed one.
Bowden missed the front end of a 1-1.
Yeah, like that. Just, again, it's a small thing, and it's very easily correctable with, 10,000 shots after practice.
No, Fulkerson going 6 of 6, like, because he can be spotty sometimes.
No, yeah, he's changed his shot. He looks good, at least from the free throw line.
Lamonte was 9 of 11.
Better. He was like, oh, of what was he like, 2 of 7 the game before? I need him like 11 for 11. He's a point guard. He's a shooter.
19 of 24 from the field.
I mean, 9 of 11. Like, if you do that all the time, like, that's.
I'm not saying it's bad.
One of the tops. That'd be one of the best.
Probably would be up there.
Yeah.
Again, I'm just saying free throws as a whole.
Well, I'll come right back with more. Great weekend for Tennessee sports. And with the big basketball win, had the bye week. Obviously, we'll talk a lot of college football. One quick stat correction. Sorry, Furman beat Villanova last year on the road. They played LSU right after that. LSU actually beat them.
We won a rugby championship yesterday, too.
Did we?
It's been a good month for Tennessee.
Yeah.
November. They remember.
I mean, don't ask me to break that down because I have no idea where to begin on that.
But, SEC championship rugby.
I went to a channel I thought a different sport was on recently, and it was rugby, and I couldn't turn it off for a minute. I had to watch. It was interesting.
That's how I am with Australian rules football.
Yeah.
They're pretty much the same thing. A little different.
Well, one's got the Australian rules. One's just got the regular rules, I guess.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
You're listening.
Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Want to let you know, coming up this Wednesday from 3 until 6, this Wednesday, 3 until 6, Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek, The Drive is giving away 150 Thanksgiving turkeys on a first-come, first serve basis, courtesy of our friends at OEB Law.
It's a lot of turkeys.
Let OEB Law turn your wreck into a check, but come get a free turkey as
Bird's
well.
Bird's the word, they say.
Yep. Smoky Mountain Brewery, Turkey Creek, this Wednesday from 3 to 6. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to do anything. You just come by. It is the turkey drop that Russell Smith and the tribe have been doing for years now, and they just give away turkeys for any reason, for any cause. I know we've had PTA groups come by and pick up some to take to people that won't have a turkey on Thanksgiving. So if you know people in need, you can come pick up some and deliver them that way. You can come get a turkey for your Thanksgiving dinner as well. It's just a great thing that OEB Law is doing through the drive this Wednesday, 3 until 6, Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. Just come by and pick up a turkey. It's the OEB Law Turkey Drop this Wednesday from 3 to 6. And, of course, as always, Wednesday is $6 Burger Day at Smoky Mountain Brewery. And you can swing out and stop in and eat if you want. But no purchase necessary. Don't do anything special. You can come pick up a turkey this Wednesday, 3 to 6 at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. Talked a lot of basketball to start the show. Tennessee got a big win over Washington.
Probably going to be ranked this week.
When's that come out? Today?
I think so. Today or tomorrow. Going to be a ranked squad in all likelihood. After you just dismantle Washington.
I mean, I thought they could win the game, obviously, but I did not expect them to just control the game from start until finish.
Yeah, was, I mean, I don't know if it was technically wire to wire, but it was, if not technically, basically, it was wire to wire domination.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't be surprised. Maybe that's on me. I mean, like Washington, obviously, a very young team. Tennessee has kind of a veteran team. Maybe that we've kind of lamented losing Bone and Schofield and Williams, but really the vets on this team have been through a lot of all kinds of basketball environments, all kinds of early season types of games, late into the NCAA tournament. They've gone through the SEC schedule, you know, multiple times, which is a grind.
Tennessee's biggest deficit was 1 point.
Well, there you go.
They got down 1-0, and they got down 3-2. And then we just coasted.
I mean, this is the consistency that, you know, we wanted to see, and they just performed really well. You get extra, like, half point on the net, too, with the being the neutral site game, too.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Not as much as it would have been a road game, but you get the extra.
Like, I don't even have anything to complain about, except your us not being cleared. And it's...
How about pawns?
I think that stretch you're talking about, I think because Tennessee had the lead for so long, and it was getting into that point in the game where it's like,
if something bad's going to happen, this is when?
That, and almost like, you know, if we make a run here, we can put it away. So you almost get timid, like, should I take this shot? Should I not? Is this a great shot? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. We always saw our kids take great shots, take great shots, take great shots. And early in the game, when that shot was open, they just pulled the trigger, no stress. Like, it's the best shot we're going to get right now. Let's make it. And they did. And then later, it's like, man, we've had the lead the whole game. I catch it here. Oh, am I open? Oh, I hesitate.
That's what it felt like.
That timidness you were talking about kind of came through because it's like, well, we're ahead. Is this a great shot or can we get a better one? And it just, and then, I don't know, and then they kind of snapped out of it and just started knocking them down again.
Back to pawns.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
I mean,
7 of 13? Hits a 3? 15 points? A big nasty block? 3 rebounds? Only 1 turnover? Where'd he come from? The scoring pawns.
Yeah.
Flying Frenchman. What a transition. A transformation. Metamorphosis. He's gone from a caterpillar to a beautiful French butterfly.
You're going to have to change your sport comment that somebody that you've
quoted. It might finally be basketball.
Who said that?
Terrell.
Yeah.
Keith Ponds is an All-American at some sport. It ain't basketball. Well, not so fast, my friend, because all of a sudden it might be basketball.
Maybe you just need more of an opportunity.
He just he looks like a different dude. Like, I was thinking, surely when we play Washington, he'll take a little bit of a step back. No, took a step forward.
Yep.
Better team, he still pops in 15 points. And we were worried about where the point's going to come from. Where are the points going to come from? Can you count on Fulkerson to give you 10 and 10? He got 6 rebounds, but he gave you 14 points against Washington. But then Pons gives you 15.
Another good note. Just kind of going through. I know that we talked about the rankings being out later, but Gary Parrish for his CBS Sports Top 25 Plus One falls also come in at 17th.
Top 20 team. I guess when you beat the number 20 team, they think, well, they're pretty good.
And that is one spot behind VCU, which if you do beat Florida State and VCU beats Purdue, you will play them for the Emerald Coast Classic Championship. So opportunity to get another top 25 win.
Well, KenPom has Florida State at 15. You're at 17. So obviously that would be a good neutral site win if you get that one. And then Purdue is at 10th. And KenPom, VCU is down at 36, so I'm not sure.
Is Purdue ranked?
I don't think so. They lost everybody.
They're 2-2 on the season.
Ooh.
So
probably not.
You got two tune-up games coming up, though. Before that, Jacksonville State on Wednesday. I said Jacksonville State. It's Alabama State on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And then UTC at 7 o'clock also on the 25th. What is that? Next Monday.
It's weird.
Yeah, so you go Wednesday, Monday.
Okay.
Skip the weekend this week. Well, yeah, it's football, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can't interfere.
Right, right.
Even though it's an away game. Just with watching in general. Yeah. You know, I'm with you.
Well, you know, all greedy football. They set their times, you know.
Yeah.
At the last minute, basketball has to set it. They usually set them all or most of them. But man, feels so good. Basketball school, and it's not even like a bad like joke about football being bad. We're just so good at basketball. Just so. I mean, it was such a clean game. Like, I'm not kidding. I'm watching all these other SEC teams.
It's been rough. Just rough struggle. Start for the SEC.
I mean, a lot of them have just struggled. Even when they've won, they've struggled. Georgia was playing like Western Carolina right out of the gate. And it was like tied with 2 minutes to go. I think they won by 15, but it was still just like,
kind of like our Murray State game, I guess.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, Western Carolina, that's another level down, you know, it's just so odd. Alabama State, I was jumping down the schedule. We do play Florida A&M later. I was looking up the TV for that. That's SEC Network Plus on Wednesday, which is different than ESPN Plus, but it's all in the same app if you're using the app. Or I think SEC Network Plus is on your cable package sometimes, somewhere, depending on what you have.
No, that's SEC Alternate.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Plus means you got to stream it.
So we have SEC Network, we have SEC Alternate, and then we have SEC Plus, and then ESPN Plus.
Yes.
Okay.
The Alabama State Hornets game, you will have to stream via the Watch ESPN section of the ESPN apps.
As long as it's not in Disney Plus, we'll be
It's not.
We'll be good.
There's a bundle, though, with Hulu. And
it all comes together.
Yeah, and that you can get for like $12. Not bad. Okay. So 3-0, feeling good.
Yeah.
Should win the next two. Then we'll find out a little bit about what we got when we play Florida State. Again, Florida State beat Florida already this year, but they do have a loss. Florida State is 2-1. They lost at Pitt to open the year, 63-61. They also had a big deficit against Western Carolina, but they ended up winning over the weekend, 79-74.
Yeah, Florida State.
They were down 17 points in the first half to Western Carolina. Again, came back and won 79-74.
They're kind of like Florida. They go through these
stretches. They get UTC Wednesday.
They can't score. I mean, when they played Pitt, they couldn't. I watched part of that game. They could not score. I mean, could not get the ball to go in the basket.
They only scored 63 against Florida, but they held Florida to 51.
Florida State is athletic, long, and tough on defense.
Nah.
So is Washington.
That's what they told me. I didn't see it. Mm. Sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't buy the Washington hype.
Hate to see
they're it. They're probably going to be pretty good at the end of the year, though.
They're let's
young.
Hope so now.
They're young. They're going to figure it out.
Let's hope so now.
But they're behind us.
Pac-12 champ.
Eyes forward.
Let's go.
No, easy.
Build the resume.
I guess.
Yeah. Makes us look better.
Nah, I just wanted us to take care of us.
If you look at what you've seen from the Pac-12 the last couple of years, yeah, you want them to be good.
Right.
No, I think they will be.
Huh. That's a wrap for Tennessee basketball. Come back with some college football. What a freaking weekend.
I got some issues with betting lines for this week.
Oh.
It doesn't make any sense.
We're just jumping ahead.
Huh?
To this coming week.
We'll talk Tennessee football.
Well, I figured the games this weekend would have an impact on some betting lines, and I don't like it. But yeah,
we're
going to talk about Missouri, Florida.
Forwards and backwards. We got you covered all the way around here on 3 and Out.
Spend my dollar, park in a holler neath the mountain moonlight.
Today's Victory Monday edition of the program brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Big Tennessee fans, and they've been helping their members right here in East Tennessee for 85 years. Move upward and forward with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. TVACreditUnion.com for all the information. They got you covered. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Big basketball win. We turn our attention back to football. Tennessee with a huge game coming up this Saturday on the road. Columbia, Missouri. Tennessee will travel to take on the Missouri Tigers, who did not score a touchdown for like the third straight week or something like that.
There's a lot of free beer on the line for that one.
Yeah. Forget about that. Bowl eligibility on the line. Tennessee. Feels good. Houston, you said you had a problem with some of the betting lines?
How is Missouri favored by more points than they score in a given game over the last few weeks?
It's a good question. It's a very good question. Some opening lines had Missouri as much as a 6-point favorite over Tennessee. Missouri only scored 6 points on Saturday against Florida. They have scored 13 points the last three games, and one of those was at Kentucky. They lost. Well, it all started with the loss at Vanderbilt, 21-14. Then they lost at Kentucky, 29-7. Then they lost at Georgia, 27-0. Then this week they got back home in the friendly confines of Faroe Field, or I think that's what they call it, right? And
yeah, I don't know.
All the betting lines are like, Missouri back home. Yeah, they'll keep this within a touchdown of Florida. Nope. 23-6. Didn't score a touchdown. Haven't scored a touchdown in 2 weeks. I mean, it's been Georgia and Florida, but still.
How? Look, if you want to say they're favored, whatever, that's fine. But 6 points? Six? How? They can't score that many. Tennessee's defense has been lights out the last 5 weeks, especially in the second half. Offense kind of figuring it out, treading along, depending on who the quarterback is in a given game at a given time. And they're going to give Missouri at home 6 points? What?
Well, they opened Tennessee opened +4 on my bookie, the official sports book of FanRun Radio. It's already down to 3.5.
I would hope so.
I already got one. I put one bet on Tennessee as soon as I saw it. I knew it because we'd already. You saw the 6-point line come out, and I was just refresh. Boom, Tennessee, let's go.
I mean, I'm not saying
stays
Missouri
3.5. I might put more on.
I mean, look, I'm not saying Missouri can't win by six. I'm not saying they can't just blow the doors off of us. I just don't understand what anybody has seen over the last 4 weeks to make you think Missouri by 6 or 7 when they have stunk. We've been good, and we're coming off a bye week getting healthy.
What would you have set the line up?
I mean, anything Tennessee by 3.5 to Missouri by 2 would have been fine.
Yeah.
But Missouri by 6?
Yeah, I think I'd have had it within a field goal either
Kid
way.
Can't even read.
Unless they're just really putting the recency bias of that series into effect. I mean, you've lost by 33 the last two times you've played them.
Yeah, but the...
I'm just trying to give a reason. I don't know what it is.
Their home and road splits were crazy, but this past week, they got Kelly Bryant back. They were at home, and they still couldn't score.
Well, if you're looking at transitive property, I mean, Florida beat us 31, and Missouri kept it to within 20 against them.
That was weeks ago.
Yeah, but Florida did nothing in the first half. It was...
I didn't say they're good reasons. I'm just trying to give reasons for why it's six.
It was 6-3 at halftime. Florida was winning. Florida rolled up 17 in the second half. 14-point third quarter.
Kelly Bryant was 25 of 39, 204 yards and a pick. Their leading rusher was Larry Roundtree III, 7 carries, 30 yards.
If I would have picked John Reese Plumley, I would have saved myself.
Oh, were you that close?
John Reese Plumley put up 212 yards on the ground.
It's pretty good.
Billy said something about saving himself when we were talking on Friday, and we were talking, and I was like, "It's the rusher that always gets you
every time."
He might be the fastest quarterback I've ever seen play the game of football.
Kick and run. I didn't watch this one, but there was one play. It was like an SEC inside that was on with Ole Miss right before something else I was going to watch, and they had like the shots from the people on the sidelines, and like just he was like. It was so weird. He looked so small, but he got out in the open field and just ran away from people. It was crazy. Speaking of the sidelines, did
fast
you see that poor girl taking still shots in the Auburn game get just knocked out cold?
Yeah, it was not a good look.
She's okay, but man.
I didn't hear, but people were saying like Gary Daniels was laughing.
Sad.
Gary Daniels.
Son, yeah.
Laughing at the poor girl.
Think Karate Kid, and you'll get it every time.
Daniels, son.
Yeah.
Nice.
He was laughing?
It is kind of funny when people get hit like that.
I mean, she was knocked out.
I didn't see it, though.
She was knocked out.
Like, out?
Oh, she was unconscious on the floor.
Yeah, you can't laugh at that.
On the field.
It was bad.
Maybe they should have pads and a helmet.
Looked like she took a knee to the face.
Knee right to the head, yeah. He tried to avoid her, but it was a running back kind of going towards the flat for Auburn. He catches the ball, tries to cut up field, gets shoved out of bounds. So he's going kind of full speed. She's been taking pictures of him running this route. I'm sure they were great shots.
I don't know. But that camera might have broke.
Boom.
Yeah, but you could save it. If it's digital, it's probably got an SD card on it. Still get the shots.
Florida beats Missouri 23-6.
Missouri's just reeling right now. I just don't get it. I don't understand. Field goals? Come on.
I mean, I thought
they've won one out of their last five. We've won four out of our last five. The one was Alabama.
Yeah, and like one of their losses is Vanderbilt. It's not like they play.
Who continues to prove they stink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they lost 21-14 at Vanderbilt to start this little skid. Vanderbilt, over the weekend, got blasted by Kentucky 38-14.
I could not believe Kentucky scored that many points. I didn't see 1 second of that game. I just saw the score, and I was like, what in the world? I mean, I thought that was going to be like first touchdown wins type of game, right? I mean, Vanderbilt scored two in the first quarter and didn't score again.
Hot start.
They were up 14-3.
But it's Vanderbilt.
Right.
Yeah, they stink.
Then they give up three touchdowns in the second quarter somehow. I'm not even sure how that happens. Lynn Bowden was 8 of 10 passing for 104 yards.
It's a big day from him. Big day. Didn't need to run it as much because he had the pass game going 8-10.
Yeah, Christopher Rodriguez ran for 129.
Rodriguez, killing me. Those were Bowden's carries. Could have helped me in SEC Survivor. Mm. Actually, I don't think so.
It wasn't going to matter.
I don't think I took Alabama. I did take Burrow. Didn't he lead?
Yeah, Burrow had like 489 passing yards.
Pretty good.
Speaking of lines, LSU plays Arkansas this week.
46-point line.
Yeah, LSU, Joe Burrow, and John Reese Plumley were the winning picks.
It wasn't LSU. It was Bama.
Sorry.
Yeah, Bama for the blowout. Texas A&M had a running back go for 130 yards.
130 carries would have been a lot. It would have been impressive.
I noticed it because he went for 130 yards on 6 carries.
That is impressive. That's more impressive.
Texas A&M beat South Carolina 30-6. Sealing Davy Hudson's fate in SEC Survivor.
No, I won, guys.
Yeah, why do you keep saying that? In what world?
Because I won. I mean, why does anything happen? Like, just because.
Okay, you're done here.
And Alabama, 38-7 over Mississippi State. That was Billy Williford's death nail. And then Georgia, big win for the Bulldogs. They clinched the SEC.
Thought Auburn might sneak around and make that a game late. And then Bo Nix became freshman Bo Nix. Missed a wide open guy on the flat. I mean, wide open for what would have been a big play. Throws it behind him. The guy kind of tried to one-hand it, which I'm not sure why. Incomplete. I think that was fourth down. Georgia converts. Gets another first down. Ices the game. The Gus Bus running out of juice, man. I don't think you fire him after this year.
No.
Cool. Well, no, because now they got a good chance to beat Alabama, I think.
Yeah.
No Tua. Haven't talked about that yet. That's a really big deal on a lot of different fronts. Not only obviously for the SEC and for Alabama, but for the NFL draft.
Yep.
Teams that were eyeing someone not named Joe Burrow because they're not going to be high enough. Probably had Tua high on the board, and now. Yikes, what do you do? Dislocated hip on the right leg. Gets tackled from behind, up 35-7 at the time, I believe.
Yes.
He tries to avoid landing on his leg, getting it rolled up by the tackler, so he pulls the knee forward as the guy's landing on him. So all of Tua's weight and the weight of the guy making the tackle on the knee as it lands, dislocates the hip. Apparently the hip relocated fairly quickly, either when the medical staff got out there or on its own. And he also broke his nose on the play.
It was really odd. We'll get into
it was rough,
next,
man.
And kind of what it means for Alabama.
I thought he was crying. They were like, nope, bloody nose, because he might have broke it.
It was rough. I watched it live. It was a weird situation, especially
insult to
injury. No one really knew what was happening. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number two, talk some more college football right here on 3 and Out.